Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Sober Buddy Podcast. I'm Brad, and I'm here with Megan. How are you, Megan?
I'm great, Brad. How are you?
I'm good. Paul and Tara kicked off this podcast with dropping some incredible episodes for everybody, and then we moved away from it for a little bit, but we've had this idea to bring it back. We both do more story podcasts on our own, but I think we wanted to bring something with some tangible takeaways and some tips for people. So here we are.
Yeah. So excited to be here. I know we've talked about this for a while. Super excited.
Yeah, for sure. And a couple weeks ago in the community, we had the topic of willingness, which really sparks a ton of discussion about when we become willing, how we become willing, and ultimately, what are we willing to do to change our current situation? What are some topics and some takeaways that you picked up on throughout the conversations a couple weeks back?
I think one of the biggest things that holds us back from being willing and taking action and everything is asking for help. That's a hard thing for many people to do. We're all very stubborn, well, many of us, and we try to just do things on our own and like, we can handle this, we can do it. But honestly, it's once we're willing to just say, you know what, I can't do this alone, I need help, and then trying to find where that help is, it's a game changer when we're able to just put our pride aside and ask for help. So really, that was a big one, being willing to just surrender and ask for help. And then another big one was willing to just take action. And so joining a community, I feel like, is one of them. It's scary to do that. Some people have never been a part of anything like this, and technology might scare people. So willing to just press that button and show up and just to see, you know, you got nothing to lose. So those two big things.
Yeah, those are incredible. I mean, reaching out for help. It's always interesting looking back. We can maybe sometimes shake our head like, why the heck didn't we do this a little bit sooner? So it's always that thing. And when I reflect back, I mean, another question too we could go over is looking back, reflecting back, what did it take or how were you able to get to a place of willingness? What did that look like?
I think sometimes it's also like I just didn't know what was out there. So I wasn't willing to even maybe go that extra step to see what was out there. I mean, I didn't know. I thought there was only just a couple things and avenues. So it wasn't until I really started like looking into different things that I realized that I needed to take action and to do something different than what I was doing.
Yeah, no, so true. Yeah, when I look back at it, I was just in denial too. A big part of denial is that I thought I had it all figured out and things were just going to flip on a dime. Like I would just switch. One day I would just flip the switch and everything would miraculously fall into place. And I think another big thing for people, which this really sucks, my goodness, this is maybe the worst part of it all, is I think that the research has got to be complete. You've got to understand that you're going to end up in the same spot time and time again. At least I did. I had to complete that research to figure it out about trying and moderating and making things work and trying this and doing all the different fancy things that we do to try to keep the relationship with alcohol or drugs going. And then once the research was complete and I was left in this exact same spot, I swear I'd never end up in again. I think that sort of pushed me to the other part you mentioned about being willing to ask for help. Like I had to put the ego aside. I had to get out of my own way, reach out to somebody else, ask for help. It sucked. It was picking up that 3,000-pound phone and just being like, hey, I know on the outside, it looks like I think I have everything figured out, but I really have absolutely nothing figured out here. And that's a scary place to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like the saying, if nothing changes, nothing changes. If we keep doing the same thing and thinking we're going to have different results, like we're crazy, you know? And that was what I just kept doing the same thing. I was only willing to do so much. And I think I didn't realize it at the time that it was that I wasn't willing. I just kept using the only tools that I had. So it was like moderation. It was like, okay, I'm going to take a break. All right. It was my toolbox was so small. So until I was willing to just try something different, that's really when, you know, change happens. And one of those things too is I feel like therapy is something that a lot of people are apprehensive about and have like preconceived notions about it. And so just don't even try therapy. But therapy and a coach can be a huge game changer. Just open your eyes to maybe what you haven't been willing to do. And that was definitely the case for me and give you new tools. And so that's when things did start to change for me, when I was willing to put myself out there a little, start going to therapy, get a coach to help me. And then I just started to do more and more and more. And then eventually, you know, it clicked.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. It clicked. Therapy. Yeah, mm-hmm. Therapy too. I mean, I had a guy break it down to me for therapy too as a preventative measure. You don't go to therapy because everything's burning down around you. Well, you can, or you can also go to therapy before everything around you is burning to the ground to prevent everything from burning mm-hmm. to the ground and start to develop those skills. Because getting in touch with your emotions and how you feel and how you work through things, it's not just like one session and done. It's years of work and continuous growth that you keep going back for, not just one and done, or you didn't get along with the other person and you just stopped going back. I did that. One guy got at a rehab. I used to see this psychiatrist, and I got at a rehab, and I was sliding way in the wrong direction. And he called me out, and I fired this guy. I never went back to see him after that. And he was a good guy. He had a ton of experience. We used to meet in his house, and he had like these two recliners, and it was really dark and gloomy, but he was a really kind person with a ton of experience. But yeah, I fired him after that. After this, I wasn't ready to hear it all, but yeah, therapy, coaching, and getting involved with a community, right, to offer that a level of accountability or adding new tools to your belt. A lot of us come into this with sort of one answer, one tool for everything. Substances is how we deal with good days, bad days, up days, down days, and everything in between. So it makes all the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. That's funny you say that, because going to therapy even when things are good, or going before things are burning down. And I would do this with my therapist. I'm like, you know what? Everything's good now. So can I cancel this week? And I would try to like cancel because I felt good. She was like, no. That's when you need to keep going. That's when you need to show up and to really strengthen all your skills, so that because eventually things do go not so great. And so she was like, that's when you need to go. And I was like, oh, I never really thought about it that way. And so I always pass it along. And we are saying that today, actually, in the Sober Buddy community meeting this morning, of how we only had one way to deal with stress. We were talking about stress management, and it was to drink or to use. And that was it. That was like our go-to. But now, with being in the community, we've all learned so many different skills and tools. So that isn't our first go-to thought. And it's amazing now that we have options. We have, you know, healthy habits that we've been able to build to deal with things in life that maybe aren't so easy.
Yeah, 110%. Another thing I want to point out for willingness is very easy when everything is going well. This is where people share, right? When things are well and things are going in the direction we want them to go, we're willing to really do a lot of stuff. And that's cool. And that's going to get us somewhere. And that's going to be growth. And that's going to be progress. When willingness matters most is when things are going the complete opposite direction of where we vision them, where we want them to go. And what happens then is people often hit a roadblock. And a lot of people I've seen over the years struggle with addiction. Isolation comes into play about, now I'm not reaching out. Now I'm not attending support groups. Now I'm just keeping to myself. I'm throwing all these tools out. What are some ways that people, when they do hit those spots, that they can continue to be willing to stay plugged in?
Yeah, great question. I think first of all would be to tell somebody when you're feeling that way, when you notice it. And so if you notice you're not telling somebody or not reaching out, then you're basically not willing, you know, especially if you're conscious about that and you're like, I know I should reach out, but I'm not. You're not willing at that point. You're not saying like, I'm going to do anything I can to stay the course and to stay the path. And so definitely reaching out would be the number one thing, and just telling somebody, at least one person, how you're feeling. Even if you feel like you're not going to, but you kind of can feel yourself creeping towards those habits. So yeah, definitely isolating is never good. So when you catch yourself doing that, reach out to somebody. There's always somebody, you know, in the Sober Buddy community that's willing to answer, to talk to you. It's so incredible to see that and to know that everybody, for the most part, if they want a buddy, that they can have one. People are always like, call me, message me in the app, you know, all those things. when people are struggling. And so the resources are there. There's so many resources out there. You just have to go find them. We always say it's not going to magically like land on your doorstep and have you and log you in and everything. You have to do it. You have to want it. You have to be the one taking the action. It's not going to magically happen. Just like the gym and working out. I've been trying to get back there and no one's going to bring me to the gym. I have to take action. And honestly, I haven't really been willing to. I'm just sitting here complaining about it and not taking action. And it's kind of similar too. Like we want to live a sober life, but we're really not actually doing anything about it.
Yeah, no, so true. We all get stuck in those spots, whether it be sobriety or other things for sure. I mean, that's just life. But I mean, this big question of willingness always comes up, right? Because you hear all the time, I'm sure you do, I do. And over the years, the question come across, right, of how to get sober. It's just a very surface level question of, yeah, how to get sober, right? And without all the details and everybody's situation, everything like that, it's a very hard, in my opinion, question to even answer. But what I've mentioned with people is that it doesn't really matter about asking somebody how to get sober. It ultimately comes down to what are you willing to do to get sober? Because I could forward somebody a list of 100 things that they could do right now to start the journey. But if they go through and analyze all these situations and they have previous experiences with stuff and it didn't align with them and it didn't click or connect, it's useless. It doesn't make any sense to just send somebody over a list. It's like that you have to go within. We have to go within ourselves to say, what am I willing to do? Am I willing to go to detox? Am I willing to go to the hospital? Am I willing to go to rehab? Am I willing to go for a year? And then am I willing to join a community, check out 12-step fellowship? Am I willing to go to church? Am I willing to start a journal? I mean, it'll go on here for probably the entire episode of things that you can do. But it's that looking within to say, you know, what are you willing to do to improve your life? And what are you willing to commit to it? Because that's where the change happens, is when you start to follow through with things you say that you're willing to do. And the real change happens when you do these things, even when you don't want to, because doing what we want to do is part of the reason why I think we ended up in such a struggle. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Oh, I feel like that's definitely really true. And I think that's when the change happens, is when we do things that we really don't want to do in that moment, as far as doing the positive thing. And, you know, working through a craving and making the right decisions, that's when things are going to change and sitting through that uncomfortable. And it's when a lot of times when people start to feel that uncomfortable feeling, they automatically they go back to drinking or whatever it might be. And so when we can just power through those moments and be willing to just sit in it for a minute, we realize things get better. So I think that's a really good thing to anybody who's listening, is to think about, like, what have you been willing to do so far? You might think, like, I've done everything, right? I'm sure you hear that too, Brad. No, I've done everything to get sober. I don't know. And you're like, well, have you done this, 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 and this? Well, no, but, you know, so think, make a list of the things that you have done so far for your recovery, for your sobriety and all those things, and see what you have done. You might be like, oh, crap, I really haven't done anything. All I've done is try to white knuckle it by myself. So ask yourself, have you gone to any type of meetings? Have you joined a community? Have you asked for help? Have you made a therapy appointment? Have you tried journaling? Have you tried going to the gym? Have you, whatever it might be, make a list of that and see what you're dealing with and where you're at and maybe where you need to put some more effort and more willingness into it.
Yeah, no, 110%. That's the big part, is what are you willing to do? And not only what are you willing to do when you're feeling good, but what are you willing to do when you're not feeling well? And there's a quote that I hope I get right, and I don't even know who it's by, you might, is if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
I've heard that one. I know.
I mean, that hits home on so many different levels, right? Is that we need to have a plan for this, about what we're going to follow through with and what we're going to do when things are good and when things are maybe not good, because that's going to come. And even willingness even continues, not just from the initial part of getting sober, but willingness continues throughout the journey. What are you willing to do to reach the next level? What are you going to do here and do there? And ultimately, the first step of this entire journey is you've got to create a buffer zone between you and the substance, because we can't think clearly when we're wrapped up right there with it. You can't get a clear picture. A lot of people will share about the fog lifting and some more clarity maybe after 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. That's really ultimately where you have to get, and you have to do whatever it takes to get there so that we can see things for really what they are, and then maybe add some more tools to our box to continue to move forward. You can start consuming recovery stuff and going to meetings and doing all that stuff before you ultimately, you know, maybe make the leap or the jump to just get sober altogether. That's definitely can be helpful to start taking stuff in. But yeah, that's another part of the whole willingness thing, is you've got to be willing to, you know, really create some distance there so you could get a true picture of actually what's going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Another one I just thought of too is willingness to maybe miss out. You know, that's a big thing. People aren't willing to miss out on the parties. They're not willing to stay home on a weekend to protect their sobriety. They're not willing to just focus and stay like in their bubble and all those things. And so they just keep, because they're afraid to miss out. You know, the fear of missing out is just such a huge thing that people are, or the fear of being judged. And so you just keep staying in this like really uncomfortable place, and you're not willing to be like, you know what, I'm not going to care what other people think. I'm not going to worry about, you know, maybe missing out on fun times, or, and that's why it's, you know, a lot of people put it off because they're like, well, I'll do it after that vacation, and I'll do it after this, or after this party, or after the holidays, or after my birthday. And when you're just not willing to do it. So really, you got to just admit it, like, all right, I'm just not ready. And you're just not there yet, maybe. And until you're there and you're ready to make those sacrifices and miss out. I mean, I stayed in a lot. I want to say really, it was like the whole first year. I got a job. I worked every weekend overnight and I didn't go out. I didn't really have a life, but that's fine because I was getting my life together to prepare me for my future. So you got to ask yourself if you're willing to make that sacrifice.
Yeah. My goodness, isn't it? Especially with a lot of holidays coming up too. It's kind of like that idea of the bow and arrow. Like the arrow only gets the velocity because the rope or the bow is pulled backwards. So sometimes it might be like a backwards thing, but then to set up for the launch, to set up for the forward motion, that's going to be extreme, but it's very uncomfortable to go backwards and feel like we're missing out. But I mean, if I reflect back to what I perceived, I was stuck there too. What I was missing out on. I mean, my goodness, when I get honest with it, I wasn't really missing out. I was missing out on a bunch of superficial, basic conversations and hanging out with people that was just a distraction from myself and my goals and my vision of who I probably should have been a long time before. And it's like, nothing's going to change. And there's always going to be another event. You know, I mean, if you're alive, then there's always going to be another birthday. There's going to be another Super Bowl, another New Year's. I mean, there's always going to be something. So that's always going to be there, another vacation. And eventually, you have to cross the bridge at some point if you want. And that's why I'm always a big advocate in a sense for that the stars are not necessarily always going to align. I mean, you have to do the best you can right now with what you have. And I waited around for things to line up, and they never did. They never lined up, that my situation just kept getting worse and worse, waiting around for this miracle moment where the sky was going to part and it was going to be like, Brad, you know, now zap me with all the tools to change my life. It never happened. Wrapping things up, Megan, here on our first episode, which I think has been incredible. Thank you. Since we're bringing this back. What can we leave people with a couple ideas of things if they're starting, if they haven't started yet, if they're early on in the process? What can we leave them with to bring them to a place of willingness?
Two things. The first one would be just join a community. It could be Sober Buddy. It could be any other one if you want. It doesn't have to be Sober Buddy, although it's awesome. But there's so many out there. Look one up and find one. That was, I'll be hitting my 3 years sober on the 26th, the day after Christmas. And I'm telling you, what changed it all was once I logged into my first Zoom call and then my second Zoom call. And, you know, don't downplay it. It's a huge deal and a big help. So just try it. Be willing to just try it a few times, like at least 5 times. And then my other thing is, yeah, don't wait, because the motivation is never just going to pop up one day and be like, oh my God, I'm ready to do it. you have to take action. The action comes first and then the motivation comes. So stop waiting, because you're prolonging some of the best times of your entire life by waiting to take action. So just do it. Do something different than what you've done, or you're going to just keep getting the same results and stay where you are forever. But we're here for you, so we'd love to see you. Come say hi.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I mean, we have to get moving, you know, somewhere. The only constant is change. It's the only thing, right? And it's either forwards or backwards. I don't know if we ever really stay the same. We're moving in one direction. So start moving forward with it, you know, start moving forward. Be willing to do some things, right? And if you reach out to people and they offer suggestions, then just try it out. Like, check stuff out. See what feels right for you, what works for you. Find some people you can connect with, that you can trust in, that you can talk with. But be open and honest, because without that, without vulnerability, you don't create actual connections. It's the mm-hmm. same stuff we did before. So you have to be vulnerable and talk with people you feel safe and comfortable with. And also, second what Megan said, come and check us out on the app. Check out our groups. There's, how many groups is there a week? 10 groups a week, 10 plus a week, 40 a month. This, and from where we started, Megan, to where we're at now, I'll never forget this. But remember logging in, we had this idea of doing these groups. I logged in Monday morning. Nobody joins the group. It's just me staring at myself on Zoom. To see from there to where we are now, where some of our groups, our bigger groups, have had 100 plus people. Our groups inside the app, I mean, average between 20 and 30 people. And it's just incredible just to see everybody working together and build this community of incredible humans that, like, actually care about each other. I have to be honest. I mean, I was a little bit surprised. On how long people have hung around. I mean, some people, 8-9 months, they're still coming to a couple meetings a week. I just didn't really know 100% that it would have that impact and people would feel like they belonged. And I think that's what some people have taken away from it, and what we've taken away from it. I think we have a really good time connecting with everybody. So
absolutely. I love it. I love everybody. Everybody's great. We really do somehow attract just really genuine, nice people. So love it. Shout out to the Sober Buddy community.
Yeah. 110%.